And welcome to the CNC Auto Show. We are back with you for the whole second hour of the CNC Auto Show. And we are here with co-host Jamie Bridges. And we have a new guest here with us. And we have Jacob Quarles here with us. And Jacob also attended the Columbia County Workforce Competition. And Jacob, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Man, we are glad that you're here. Jacob, we're going to be getting you to tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about what you did as far as competing. But we do one thing here. We like to answer automotive questions. And this is a question that has to do on the mechanical side. So I'm going to bring this person on board, and all three of us will help this gentleman with his question. And so we will go over to, let's see here. Oh, he's gone. He was asking a question about the 2001 Nissan that a previous caller had asked about. And I was going to put you on board to help answer his question on there. So I'm going to do one thing before we move forward. I'm going to go ahead and mention we did give an answer to the tech tip quiz on the previous hour. I'm going to give that answer one more time just to make sure that everybody has that. And the question was, Reeve owns a nice little sports car. He let his friend use the car. His friend let the battery go dead, but still put over 3,000 miles on the car, even with a dead battery. How did his friend put over 3,000 miles on the car with a dead battery? And we did have to retire that tech tip quiz. Jamie's shaking her head. and the answer was, Reeve's first name was Elon, and Elon Reeve Musk. Elon had a red roaster he loaned to Starman to drive in space. Starman left him February 6, 2018. The battery went dead, and he went over 3,000 miles. It actually went 234 million miles because it's closer to Mars. And that was the answer to today's tech tip quiz.
So for clarification, because I had to Google it because I didn't know what was going on. Starman is a mannequin in a spacesuit.
Yes.
And he's in the Tesla Roadster, and he was launched as a counterweight or some kind of weight on
out
the nose
of SpaceX.
Yeah, the nose cone of this Elon Musk spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Roadster has floated all the way through our solar system.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now that makes sense. Now I still have mixed feelings about the question, but the answer makes sense now. So
I can't remember what the song was that was playing. Maybe somebody will call and tell us if they know what song it was that was playing during that time that he had on the radio.
Yeah. But
I can't remember what that was. Okay. Yeah,
my best guess to what the answer would be is they were flat towing it and the wheels were turning. So mileage was the only thing I could have thought of.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking outer space.
Yeah. No, we had a lot of tries on that one. Yeah. Yeah. So what we have to do to all those that tried. Okay. All right. Jacob, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you did at the competition.
Well, I'm Jacob Quarles. I go to Harlem. I've always liked cars. Always liked watching movies and shows about them. It's about how I just started getting interested in them.
Uh-huh.
And then about a year and a half ago, I bought my first truck. It was a 87 Blazer.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where I learned a lot of it, just having to work on it. But now I'm in the automotive program at Harlem where we do the competitions.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got done with the competition a few weeks ago where me and Carl are working together as a team in the advanced section, and we won it. Just trying to, because they brought in a truck and it was acting like another shop had already worked on it, but they couldn't get it fixed. So we had to think about it in that regard, that somebody else could have messed it up, not like a part broke up by itself.
Yeah. And that's what makes the automotive industry so much fun. Is things are not always as they seem to be. For instance, a vehicle comes in and a person has an issue And if somebody else has already worked on it, they may have changed something that shouldn't have been changed or moved something in a way to where it shouldn't have been. So you two figured this out.
We did. We were the first team in the 4 years that they were doing it to actually figure it out in the hour and a half that they gave us to work on it.
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
So you have access to wiring diagrams and information on the car.
Yes, sir. We had a computer with ProDemand pulled up, which is a service that shows you all of the OEM diagrams. And you can also go on there and it shows real fixes. And then you can search it by symptom and it'll show where other mechanics had the same symptom and their fix and how common that fix helped it. Yeah. That was real helpful.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that may not necessarily know that technicians have access to that type of information.
Yeah, on the heavy duty side for semi trucks, we have something similar. Well, you know, this problem occurred. Technician A did this, B did this, C did this, and it's similar.
Yeah. And we use a program, not necessarily ProDemand, but Identifix.
Yeah.
And it's set up in a way to where technicians from all around the world write in and say, yeah, this is what was wrong with it, and this is what repaired it. And technicians can use that to point them in the right direction because, of course, you at that competition, you knew that speed is very important. Many people would look at it and say, oh, speed shouldn't be a big issue as far as working with cars. But it is a big issue because when you're working on a vehicle, people want their cars fast. And not to mention, your time's very valuable of what you're doing. So the faster you get to the problem and get the problem solved, faster the customer is back on the road, and the more money a technician makes, actually, because they're able to repair cars faster. So knowledge equates to dollars also, and happy customers.
Yeah.
A big part of the competition was mainly diagnostics, and that was a big part of it, was just knowing how to track down the problem going down the system to kind of pinpoint where the problem was. Like, we had a hard brake pedal, and then we looked at the codes on it. We looked at the live data on the vacuum sensor to how much vacuum is going to the brake booster. We eventually found that there was a plug in the vacuum line.
Oh.
So we kind of had to work backwards to find that one.
That would be a little bit of a tricky issue because you don't run into that real often. So you found that it was lower, and your first instinct was, if that reads lower, it must be a bad sensor. But then you found that the sensor was correct. It was just the vacuum was too low.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. And so you and Carl, your work together on those type problems?
Yes, sir. We were working on the same truck together.
Now, was there any kind of event in your life that made you say, wow, this is what I really enjoy doing. I want to work with cars.
There's been a lot of things, but I've always liked it. Is the thing.
You just always enjoy working with cars. Okay, now the your view as your view on cars changed in since you started working on the cars, of how you actually just look at a car, how you drive it, and do you kind of you interested in a lot of the functions that it has now?
Most definitely. Whenever you can look at a car and you can tell that the oil filter's in a bad location or something like that. Like, there's some cars I would never buy just because of the oil filter location is such a pain to get to.
It makes
doing simple stuff just so much harder on some of these newer vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a what advice would you give to someone just starting to learn or get into working on vehicles?
Honestly, if you already have the car that you're working on, the best thing to do is YouTube it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, because you can sit there and watch how they did it and watch a bunch of different stuff.
Well, you picked out a good first vehicle, in my opinion, because it's a Chevy, but...
Yeah.
You know.
nothing simpler than a small block Chevy.
Oh, my gosh. No, there really isn't. That was a great first pick.
Jacob, this is awesome. Hey, we're going to be right back with more of the CNC Auto Show. The CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by Motorrad, a global leader in development of high-quality and reliable thermal and engine management solutions for today's vehicles, as well as emerging technologies of the future. Learn more at Motorrad.com. Little GTO. And we are back with you with the CNC Auto Show. I'm here with co-host Jamie Bridges, and we are here with Jacob Quarles. And Jacob was in the competition for the Columbia County Education Workforce Competition. And he mentioned that they hit a few items on the cars. They put some bugs in the cars, and they were able to go in there and diagnose these issues within an hour and a half, which I thought was awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing for the industry. One of the next things that we have for you, Jacob, we have a caller, and this caller is going to be asking a question, and you will have the opportunity to talk with the caller about his vehicle. Welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help with?
I have no idea what the problem is, what the solution is to your question, but I have a RAV4, and I put about 1,952 miles a year on it, and I changed the oil at 5,000. So it takes me about 2 years, to reach the oil change. Do you think I should change it more frequently?
Okay, I'm gonna let Jacob jump on this first.
Yes, sir. I definitely would. Most of the time, the recommended service is about every 6 months or every 5,000 miles for an oil change and a basic just inspection of your car to look over everything and make sure everything's good.
Yeah. Would you agree, Jamie?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I agree also. One of the things that you run into on a vehicle is the crankcase also builds up moisture inside there. And because of that, you need part of the oil's job is to hold that moisture. And then when it's changed, get it out of there. Now, I will tell you that at one time I was always saying 6 months. Now, it's not uncommon for me to go. If I got a vehicle that I'm not driving much at all, I might go 8 months, a little bit longer than that. I never would go 2 years, but I would recommend somewhere between 6 months and 1 year going ahead and changing it, whether you have the miles on it or not. And I think that would be a great move. And with that, I would recommend going ahead with full synthetic oil also when you do it. It's got a little bit better protection mainly for thermal reasons. It withstands hot temperatures, but that vehicle may even call for full synthetic anyway, and the price difference is not that much. So yeah, I'd go ahead and change it somewhere, pick a time somewhere between 6 months and a year, but have it on a routine. Whatever you do, say at this time I'm gonna change it, and whether you have the miles on there or not, go ahead and do it.
So even with the synthetic oil, you recommend the same frequency of change?
Yes. With full synthetic oil, I tell you what I do. I have a Z3, BMW Z3, and I use full synthetic oil on it. And it's an older vehicle. It's like an 01 or something like that. And but I drive to pee out of that car. so I have to, it turns up high RPMs. But yes, I would go ahead and use the full synthetic, and I would do it. I do mine every 5,000 miles. And it's something that my car, I don't have trouble with cars. I drive my cars a long, long, long time. And so, yes, I would still do it at 5,000 miles, still full synthetic. And that's what I recommend on most cars. Now, you do get into some European vehicles and some large trucks and things that varies from that a lot. But on the average car, I normally say 5 months, 5,000 miles, and that way you got a good routine. And if you add it up, sometimes people say, well, I'm going to go longer and I'm going to do this longer. You're talking about pennies compared to a car's lifetime. And I've seen cars that hadn't been driven very much that they only change their oil like every 2 years. And what happens? They crank them up. You see this smoke coming out the back, and then they start leaking and using oil and all that. So it's just not worth it. I'd put it on a good routine. 5 months, 5,000 miles, boom, you don't have to worry.
Yep.
I have one more question about that. If you're using synthetic, is it possible to switch back to the regular oil?
No, not recommended.
No, yeah. I wouldn't.
Probably wouldn't hurt anything, but I don't see a reason why. I mean, the full synthetic is not that much more expensive now on most cars. Now, you do get into some of the later model, like BMWs. And,
well, the higher the fluid capacity, of course, the more expensive it's going to be.
Exactly. But like on that car, you're probably talking about $20 an oil change difference between full regular or synthetic oil, full synthetic and semi-synthetic. So it's just, there's not a reason to. I would just use full synthetic.
But yeah, I wouldn't run synthetic, then conventional, and then go back to, I wouldn't go back and forth. You pick one and stay with it. Now, if you ran synthetic oil and you were stuck somewhere and you had to drop a quart of conventional oil in it just to get home, I would do that. And then I would change the oil shortly after. I wouldn't keep running them together. You're going to end up with foaming, and it's going to do weird stuff. So I would just go ahead and drain it. So in case of emergency.
Can you recommend? I was going to say, can you recommend a particular brand of synthetic oil?
The biggest thing that differentiates one brand of oil from another brand of oil is going to be your additives and your detergents that are in the oil. So it's not necessarily that your store brand oil is not going to do what it needs to do. They all have to meet or exceed a certain guideline. So your store brand oil is still going to work. But, you know, you go up in line, you get the high mileage additives, you get different detergents and wear inhibitors. So I would do a little research on your own and just kind of decide what you want out of that oil. And then I would go and pick a brand name based off of that research, off of what you want out of the oil. But there's nothing wrong with running to AutoZone and grabbing like house brand oil. It's not bad oil. It's really not, because I use store brand oil. So I mean there's nothing wrong with it. I mean that's you know, they're pretty similar, all of these.
And I will say I love Shell products. Shell, because if you go to an airport, you're going to see AeroShell. If you go to a truck stop, you're going to see Shell Rotella. So I love products made by Shell. Our bulk oil is a Shell type oil. But I would say the main thing is just get a good name brand of oil, even if you want to go really to the top, Mobil 1, something like that. But there's so many good brands now. So I would just pick the oil and stay Jamie mentioned.
The biggest thing is changing your oil. Just change your oil.
Yeah, that's the number one. Hey, great question though. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We thank you. Have a great day. Okay, we'll be right back with more of the CNC Auto Show. We are back with you with the CNC Auto Show. I'm Aaron Clements, here with co-host Jamie Bridges, and we have Jacob Quarles here. And Jacob, I wanted to make sure I had the opportunity to tell you thank you for being here, and of course congratulate you on all the things that you've done as far as the Columbia County Workforce Competition. That is a great thing. What's next in line for that?
They'll do another competition next year. They do it once a year. So probably that is, we usually don't do any other competitions. It's the one put on by Columbia County.
Think you're going to be one of the ones that'll win 2 years in a row?
That's the plan.
Win all those nice prizes that everybody gives to you guys.
It's crazy to see all the industry partners just donating all that stuff to young mechanics. And
you
techs.
Won some stuff, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some nice stuff. Oh, yeah. Now, a bigger win for you, though, did you happen to have any people that had companies that may have come to you and said, hey, are you interested in talking about a position?
I did not. At the job fair the night before, most everybody was looking for 18 and up. and looking for somebody that was about to graduate.
Oh.
Yeah, insurance purposes, because I was there doing the same thing. Yeah, looking for interns is what I was there doing. But, I mean, besides that, you know, the support that we all try to come together and support you guys, because technicians are so important. I mean, everybody drives or rides in some kind of vehicle. Everything that you own at some point was transported by some kind of vehicle. I mean, technicians are so important, and that's why we all come together to support you guys. And, you know, the tools hopefully would advance your career and, you know, if you stayed with it. So
I was at an advisory meeting the other night at one of the high schools, and I can tell you, I did see several different people with some larger companies said, what can I do to help? So I'm going to say this to everyone that is in the automotive industry that has businesses around the country. Get involved with your local high schools.
Yes.
and also have a method of letting the parents know that this can be a beautiful industry to be a part of.
Oh my gosh, it definitely is. And we need to start sooner to get people interested in this field. We need to start with our high school students to get that interest. The instant gratification that comes with being able to work with your hands and actively see that you're accomplishing something, and the feeling of watching that car roll out the bay.
Not to mention, you can make a very nice living doing it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Some of these, they make good money.
Yeah, so. They do.
Now, Jacob, I want to say thank you very much for you being here, Jacob Quarles, and congratulations on all the things you've done. And we're going to be bringing Elizabeth back. So while you two are switching headsets and she's coming in, I'm going to be taking a quick call. But thank you very much for being here, and I look forward to, if you don't mind, stay in touch with us and let us know how you're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Okay, we will be going to the phone calls while we are waiting for Elizabeth to get all buckled in there. And welcome to the CNC Auto Show. How can we help?
Hey, this is JT.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Calling on the tech quiz.
Okay. Now, are you talking about the one having to do with the red roadster? That the battery went dead?
The one where the guy... Yeah.
Okay. We had to retire that tech tip quiz. Nobody got an answer. We waited 2 weeks, and we pulled it back out of the refrigerator last week that had mold on it. So we were going to use it this week, but it was just not edible.
No.
When we pulled it out this week. So we had to retire it, and we gave the answer to that tech tip quiz. You want to hear the answer real quick?
And I missed. Tell me the answer.
All right, here we go. And it had to do with Reeve owning a sports car. He let his friend use the car. His friend let the battery go dead, but he still put 3,000 miles on the car. Even though the battery was dead, how did his friend put 3,000 miles on the car with a dead battery? And the answer was Reeve's first name was Elon. That's Elon Reeve Musk. Elon had a red roadster that he loaned to Starman to drive in space. Starman left on February 6, 2018. The battery went dead, and he went over 3,000 miles with it dead. It's actually gone over 234 million miles, and it's actually closer to Mars. And you could have been a winner. And I'm holding your, what could have been your TTQWB water bottle. And that's in the prize package. And I'm going to give you this anyway. Oh, man, I am so sorry.
I deserve it.
Very good. Okay, we really appreciate your call.
What I'd have done is park that sports car on a hill every time.
Well, you can't do that in space. The thing was halfway to Mars or over halfway to Mars. There's no hill to park on. Elizabeth, do you think he could have parked that red sports car on the hill?
Not in outer space.
No. Yeah. No, see, there's
they got grabbed.
Yeah. Maybe when he lands on Mars, he might be able to find a hill somewhere.
Maybe.
All right. We do appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Welcome back, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hey, we talked last time you were here a little earlier. We talked a little bit about the competition that you were in having to do with the painting and the things that you did, how well you did and all of those items. But there's something else you're involved in. And this part, I'm trying to picture it. I can't quite picture this part. But you are into wrestling?
Yes, sir. So I started combat sports with my granddad when I was really, really young, probably 5 or 6.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, it just kept progressing. Like I started doing, you know, MMA and kickboxing. And then the place that I was doing kickboxing at had a wrestling club. I was like, oh, I want to wrestle. Like, that sounds so much fun. So then when I got to high school, I joined the wrestling team at my school. We actually did not have a girls team. I was the only girl on the Evans High School team at that time. And then the next year, we had a few more girls join. And then this year, I can say that I have officially started the female wrestling team at Evans High School.
Oh, so wow.
It's nice to say that I was able to be the start to something new.
Yeah.
And then I actually just made history the other day. I was the first female ever at Evans High School to sign a letter of intent to go and wrestle in college.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. So not only can she paint your car, she could whoop your butt, too. That is really impressive. Just amazing. Like the whole everything you got going on, from the painting body to the wrestling and everything that you've achieved so far. I mean, it's
been such an amazing experience.
That's, oh my gosh. I love everything about this. It's great. I love seeing women in the industry and seeing all the things that you've achieved, and just to see where you go in life. It's going to be great.
You don't like this paint? Let's go outside and talk about it.
You want to talk about it out loud?
Oh, gosh.
And so you get a scholarship in wrestling?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow, that is just absolutely amazing. I love it.
It is. It's great. It's, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I imagine you are. Okay, we need to pull over for just a minute or two, and we will be back on the road very shortly with more of the CNC Auto Show. I just returned from our Automotive Technical College's advisory board meeting. We discussed the recent technician workforce competition, current curriculum, shop equipment for the schools, and where students can go to get good information about the industry. This gave me a chance to tell the new people on the board about ShopSquadOnline.com. Some didn't know that ShopSquadOnline.com is a site driven by NGK and NTK to advance the automotive repair industry, or that it's available to shop owners, service advisors, parts pros, technicians, industry professionals, and students. This site represents an opportunity to develop tools and solutions to support shops' needs. I told them that their students could enroll and receive a host of benefits, on-demand training, digital newsletters, product launch information, and more. Several instructors said that they would definitely be encouraging their students to sign up, and I told them that they could get a lot more information at ShopSquadOnline.com. It turned out to be a great meeting, and I really enjoy being around other people that like to move the automotive industry forward.
Oh, Rapid Roy, that stock car boy, he the best driver in the land. He said that he learned to race the stock car by running shine out of Alabama. Oh, the demolition derby and the figure eight, it's easy money on the bank.
And we are back with you with the CNC Auto Show. We're a little informal around here. We're talking about cars during the breaks and Nerf gun fights and all the other things. Jamie running back to getting her chair right before we get started back. And we have co-host Jamie Bridges mm-hmm. here with us, and we have Elizabeth Stupak here back with us. And we are discussing, we talked a little bit about the competition that you were in. We talked a little bit about the wrestling that you have had a scholarship for, which is absolutely amazing. And you mentioned that you enjoy the mechanical side a little bit also.
Yes, sir.
On doing things. And Elizabeth, I'm going to mention to you, it's absolutely amazing to hear the things that you've accomplished and things that you're doing. And I know there's going to be a lot more.
Thank you.
Now, we talked a little bit. You're going to come visit us when we have at the next Coffee and Cars or car show that we might be doing a remote at. You're going to walk up and talk to us, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, I want to say thank you very much for being here with us. We will be calling Collier back in, and he'll be sitting down with us because we want to have the opportunity to say hello to him. But Elizabeth, again, it has been wonderful. And I received a text message from a good friend of mine that was one of the people. Actually, he was a judge at one of the events. He wrote, well, this come from Carol Proctor, AC Proctor Paint and Body. That young lady is a rock star. I judged Skills USA for the auto body last weekend in Atlanta. Asked her about being captain of the wrestling team, which we did that already before I read that part of it. But I want to say thank you very much for being here. We enjoyed it very much.
Oh, yes.
And thank you for having me.
Okay. And I'm going to let you two swap out on the headsets while I'm going to the caller. And we will go over to the next caller, and welcome to the CNC Auto Show.
Hey, good talk with you. I've got a late 90s model Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I'm noticing some leaks around the head gasket, and you know, eventually this thing has upwards getting near 300,000 mid twos, upper 200 something K, but just in general, if I plan to put a new engine in the vehicle, would it be recommended that I purchase the engine or brand myself, the maker, because there's different makers, you know, the engines, but or let the mechanic choose? And also, do you install engines at CNC? And if you don't mind, I don't expect to go into detail, by the way. That's a lot involved there. That's a loaded question, I know. But can I take your answer response off the air so I can hear you better that way? So,
well, either way, it'll be fine. Now you're welcome to stay on. I can tell you real quickly
I may go out of range soon that I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I'll be glad to answer that. Okay. All right. So the question was, he's got a vehicle. It's got about 300,000 miles on it, and it sounds like it's getting a little tired. And he wondered if we would replace an engine if he found the engine.
So you can always buy your own parts and show up to whichever repair facility you want to with the parts that you purchased and have them install those parts. Now, the problem with that is that if you show up with your own parts, that repair facility is not going to give you a warranty for those parts because they don't know where those parts came from. They didn't buy the parts themselves. So you're doing that, you might save a few hundred bucks up front, but in the long run, you could potentially be costing yourself a lot more money because you don't have that warranty to fall back on if something does go wrong. Now, it's not common, but every so often you do get a faulty brand new part. So if it were me, and depending on where the engine was coming from, I would probably just let the repair facility buy the engine and then install it themselves. That way you have the warranty to fall back on. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were going to install it myself, then I would just go pick whatever engine and hopefully there's nothing wrong with it. And then if there is something wrong with it, I'd be able to troubleshoot it and figure it out. But if you're going for the warranty, then you're not going to get the warranty if you buy your own parts.
Yeah. And you answered that perfectly well. And that is pretty much how we do. We with a smile, I mean, on most parts. Now, if somebody was buying a part that we knew was not going to be good, we would say, no, we'd rather not install it. But in most cases, if somebody got their own parts and it was a good, reputable part, we would put the part in for them, but like you mentioned, no warranty on it. But to tell you the truth, there's not a huge markup in engines when you're putting them in anyway. And I will tell you, this is a case that we installed some used engines also. Got one out there right now that we ordered an engine for. It was a used engine, and everything looked good on the engine. We got it in, and it just didn't sound right. We didn't feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So we'll be taking that engine back out, putting another one back in at no charge at all to the customer. And now that was a used one. It's a little bit more unusual on a reman or something like that,
but engines.
Like you said, it can. I have seen it happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd recommend on an engine. You're talking about over the lifetime of an engine. You're talking about saving very, very little.
Yeah. Because, no, you're just better off to go with the warranty and let them find the engine. Go ahead, proceed
Collier,
that way.
Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that, 100%.
All right, yes, fantastic. Sir. Okay, Collier, we wanted opportunity to tell you also that we appreciated you being here, and we wanted to have the opportunity to congratulate you on some of the things that you've done as far as in the competition. And you say you and Jacob together jumped on there and found problems on these cars within an hour and a half.
Yes, sir, hour and a half.
Wow. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing to see that. I'm going to have to make it a point to go to that competition. Now, would you agree with what I mentioned is that automotive shops around the country there may be some automotive people that are listening to this, that things like that can be really good for the students and exciting for them and let them know how important they are because they are the future of the automotive industry.
Yeah.
And I think that if they would get involved, I'm a member of advisory boards. Jamie, I know you do a huge amount for probably even more than I do as far as going to different places and helping the students and just helping the automotive industry.
Any opportunity.
People get involved in this and let the kids and their parents know that this is a great industry. We talked about myths. The myth is was that the automotive technician didn't earn a good living. And I can tell you that's absolutely not like it is at all.
No.
It can be a very, very nice industry to be in, to be a part of. And I can tell you that I've been in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So, Collier, I want to say thank you very much for you being here with us during the show. Any last thing you want to mention about the competition or even being on the show here?
Not much. I mean, I just appreciate y'all inviting us. And then Anthony Deckard and Nick Hayes did a great job putting on the competition.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. And who was that now?
Anthony Deckard. I think he's over just actually like the mechanical side of it. Uh-huh. And then Nick Hayes is over everything, I believe.
All right.
Nick is an awesome, awesome guy. He was an educator for years. He's very invested in helping the kids.
Uh-huh.
And he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's the one that came up with the idea in the first place.
Yeah, he's we need to drag him onto the show one day.
Yes, we will.
Which I believe both Anthony and Nick were both students of Mr. Lewis's at Augusta Tech.
Yeah. So. Well, I know Tim. Tim's an awesome technician, and I've always enjoyed. And mention again, all of these technicians, we try to talk back and forth, even though it might seem like they're competitors, but in effect, we're all willing to help each other in a lot of different ways. Everybody works together very closely. Okay, the time clock is on E, and we do need to pull over for now, but we will be back on the road in no time. I'm Avery Clements here with co-host Jamie Bridges, and we want to say thank you very much, Collier, for being on the show.
Sure,
and we will see everybody again next week with more of the CNC Auto Show. Oh, and I'm sorry about that tech tip quiz. I got a feeling I'm going to hear from that. All right. Have a great day. The CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by Motorrad, a global leader in development of high-quality and reliable thermal and engine management solutions for today's vehicles, as well as emerging technologies of the future. Learn more at Motorrad.com.